So that's a perfect example of my always saying that offensive linemen are always interesting. They just don't get asked very often. And like Billy Turner said, we're not looking for it. We're not looking for run. We're not looking for pub. We're not looking for media. But the media should be looking for these guys because they're so interesting. Offensive linemen are always interesting. And that was an extremely interesting cat. Billy Turner. Love that interview. All right, so we're coming to you live from Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions of bucks during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules. Enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. Three good interviews, but they're done. So now the third hour is wide open. Now you can come in. Now you can jump up in here. 1-800-636-8686. You make that phone call. You talk to Adam Hawk. You convince Adam Hawk to put you on hold. And if it's a good call, I go right to you. You can also follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. Rome. Billy Turner dropping a BS bomb on the radio was total horse crap and very offensive. Who does this son of a gun think he is? What the heck is the world coming to? Total hogwash. Frick, man. Think of the kids. Kind regards, non-cursing Adam Hawk. Aaron and Beacon Hill. Hey, Avi, did you catch that? Did you
get
that?
What I am here to do is to help the Green Bay Packers win football games and win championships. That is my job. That is what I signed up for, and that is what I told these coaches when I came here and signed that contract. So anything else after that is, you know, just extra bullshit, to be honest with you, that most offensive linemen just don't really care about.
I mean, talking to that guy, and I had never spoken to him before, you're struck pretty quickly, almost from the very moment that I said, hello, thanks for joining us. You knew that he was a no-nonsense guy. Hello. In other words, a no-bullcrap kind of guy. Like, I can't condone it. I don't want to celebrate it. But I'd be lying if I said there wasn't a part of me that respected how utterly comfortable he was in the setting and in his own skin and with himself that he could just let a bullcrap bomb fly like that on live radio.
Just extra bullshit.
You know, and didn't even double clutch, didn't even blink, didn't say, oh, my bad. Sorry about that. Just kept rolling right through the answer.
My bad, my friend.
I shouldn't condone it, and I don't, but I do respect it. Dear Rome, wiping your ass with your left or right hand. My solid gold toilet has a bidet. Regards, blow regard. Francis in Glendale. We're Irate Craig using funnel cake powder as blow.
Amen.
He's talking about blow regard from the Palisades. I thought that was an amazing analogy. And it was even a better analogy because it came from one of my favorite guys, Josh Sitton. Josh Sitton used to come on the show a lot. And then he retired, and I have no idea where he is now. Maybe in Pensacola? He kind of went off the grid, though. What a great analogy. Moving from the left side to the right side or the right side to the left side is like wiping your ass with your offhand. All right, then. Why don't we start hour number three with a new topic? In this country, 40% of all food produced every single year literally goes wasted and uneaten. That's the number I've seen. Fair to say now that the Cleveland Cavaliers and their recently rearranged locker room have officially contributed to that staggering number. Because apparently, one of their first round picks from 2019 melted down over the weekend and started throwing food all over that joint. Talking about Kevin Porter Jr. You might remember that name. 20-year-old, former high school standout, drafted out of USC, soon to be kicked out of Cleveland altogether. Now, Porter has not been with the Cavs all season. He's been away dealing with, quote, personal issues. You know, so you hope that guy takes the time and he gets right. You hope he takes the time and he gets help. The absence comes on the heels of barrel rolling his SUV down the highway back in November. Cops also found a handgun and some weed in the glove box of that flipped over, banged up sled. So my man needs help. So when you consider that he dropped in the draft just a year before because of a misconduct suspension at USC, you can see how he does need help and how this thing is starting to get away from him. And he's just one season into the NBA, and he's only 20. He's still just 20. Now, despite those red flags coming out of college, the Cavaliers did trade up, and they grabbed him with that final pick in the first round. And then he rewarded or repaid them by going for a respectable 10 points, 3 boards, and a couple of dimes off the bench in his rookie season. That's why they moved up to get him. He had that kind of promise. He has that kind of promise. But then he wrecked his rig. He admitted to underage drinking. He was found with a firearm and some Kron in his car. And despite all the charges against him being dropped, he never did come back to the team for this season. And again, a number of players are opting out for whatever reason. The pandemic, mental health, whatever the reason might be. But then he did return finally this past Friday. Now, according to reports, the Cavaliers were happy to see him because they felt like it signified that he was one step closer to rejoining the team completely as a player. So him showing up was a good thing. Until it wasn't. Because apparently, when he got to the locker room, he realized the team moved his locker. And that's when Porter decided to start moving food through the air. The Athletic reported yesterday that Porter, quote, grew angry when he entered the locker room and realized that the team gave his old locker to Taurean Prince, who was acquired in a blockbuster trade Wednesday. Sources said Porter, whose locker was moved to the wall where the younger end-of-the-bench players reside, began yelling and at one point threw food. End quote. So upon realizing that he was no longer on the front row, millionaire's row, whatever you want to call it, then he got moved to the back row, he then decided to weaponize food. I only wish that we knew what exactly it was that he was lobbing around the locker room in a fit of rage. Are we talking about a sando? Are we talking about a donut? Or are we talking about more hot soup? Like, for Porter to be upset that the team stuck him with the younger end-of-the-bench players to the point that he's weaponizing food, man, that is rich. Really rich. For one, he is one of the younger players. He's 20. It's his second year. And on top of that, he's not even an end-of-the-bench player right now because he hasn't even been on the bench itself. End-of-the-bench would be an upgrade from not with the team this year. So my man should consider himself lucky that given what he's gone through and what he's dealing with and some of the choices that he's made, that he still has a locker, regardless of where it is in the room. The Athletic also reported that GM Kobe Altman and head coach J.B. Bickerstaff confronted Porter during the meltdown, but that Porter was, quote, combative with Altman, end of quote. And that Bickerstaff was, quote, shocked and disgusted, end of quote, with what Porter was saying. I'll tell you what, man. An NBA head coach is probably, even a young guy like that, has probably seen and heard everything. Everything. You know what it would take then for an NBA coach to be, quote, shocked and disgusted over something a player said? I would love to know what he said. According to sources, Altman told Porter to clean out his locker and go home. And then Altman told the team Porter would not be coming back. You gotta love the idea of the GM telling the player to clean out his locker, a locker that the team had just moved. The locker that apparently caused the whole freak out in the first place. Oh, you're pissed that we moved your locker over there to the rest of the guys who are young and at the end of the bench? You want me to go clean out that locker? The whole thing that precipitated this whole thing? Apparently the Cavs spent all weekend trying to trade him, but there weren't any takers. Yeah, I'm sure that didn't exactly hype up his trade value. I don't know, maybe it's having a gun and Kron in a rig that he rolled. Maybe it's confronting and being combative with the GM who traded up to get him. Maybe it's all the food that's currently still sticking to the walls of the Cavalier facility right now. Here's to the Cavs having a sign in their locker room that counts the days since their last food-throwing incident, like a counter. Here's to J.R. Swish texting a thumbs-up emoji to Kevin Porter Jr. after reading that story. I mean, like, letting your hands go is one thing. Letting your food go is another. And yes, I do understand that nobody likes their personal stuff moved around. I mean, I understand where that'd be off-putting. If I came in this studio and somebody moved my lapper out of here and my earbuds out of here and rearranged all my stuff and didn't tell me, I'd probably get pretty heated too. You could see why Porter didn't take this well. It's like if you go back to work after an extended leave and they move your office down the hall to the other side of the building when you already had that great spot right near the break room or right near the elevator and nobody tells you, you're going to be hot. Memo to all NBA teams, to avoid future food fights, just have HR knock out a quick email to the guy that his locker is being reassigned, and that way you can avoid the hassle of having to scrub Salisbury steak or chicken cacciatore off of the locker room walls. All it would take is a quick email and clones. Harden was a part of the trade that sent Torian to the Cavs, but he was not in Brooklyn, or he was, so he was not there to eat or lick all the food off the wall that Porter was throwing around. Professional athletes throwing food when things don't go their way. Or just Cavalier players. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to the phones. Green Bay, Wisconsin. You know what that means. In market, on topic. Logan in Green Bay. Good to have you, Logan. What's up?
Jim, not too much. It's been a while. How have you been?
Great. I've been great. How about you?
Pretty good. It's been a mild winter here. So if you were to get up to the cabin, you wouldn't really be getting the true effects. I don't even know if you'd be able to get on the ice or go skiing, whatever you want to do. But, you know, at some time, you do got to get up here in the winter just to experience it, so you did it. But anyways, Jim, I wanted to call, just give a shout-out for the jungle karma that you gave. And also, you know, while Billy Turner's great, I got to say Elgton Jenkins standing up to Aaron Donald there in that game. Wow. You know, getting grabbed by the face mask. I know Aaron Donald wasn't 100%, but that whole offensive line, they showed up, they balled out, they kept Rodgers on his feet the entire game, and it's going to take that on Sunday to run it back to the Super Bowl. So, again, thank you for the jungle karma, and if you could do me a favor and not bring any Bucks players on for this week, you know, just keep it really level, keep Pack of top of mind, would love it. So thanks again, Jim. Have a good one. I'm out.
You too, Logan. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm not sure what our status in terms of Bucks players this week, but you may get what you want, namely no Bucks. Now, that Green Bay offensive line has had an amazing year. That's a really, really good offensive line, a great offensive line. And they keep Aaron clean. They ran the hell out of the ball, ran the hell out of it on the Rams. And Aaron Donald clearly was not Aaron Donald. I've never once watched him play and not dominate. And he didn't dominate that game. And you knew the second he started to grab onto a face mask that he was not in the right frame of mind. I mean, like, he did everything he could to be the best he possibly could be out there and was trying to help his team. But never mind that snap count that he was allegedly not on, which he was on. When you see a guy like that grabbing on a guy's face mask, you know he's frustrated. You know he's not feeling well. You know he's not capable of doing what he wants to do. You just never see that guy, that particular guy, express or lash out the way he did. You know, grabbing on a dude's face mask. You knew at that point that he was in for a long, long day, that he was not right. In terms of your point about it being a mild winter, dude, I've seen the pictures from our neighborhood in Eagle River. The river, check that, the lake is completely frozen over. That's a gigantic lake. That's not some little small pond that I have on the property. That's a chain of lakes. I'm seeing people. What are you talking about? I'm seeing people drive their cars on that lake, man. It's cold as hell. How cold would it have to be to freeze a body of water of that magnitude? Answer, cold as hell. Two reasons why I'm not there. Two reasons why I didn't spend the last week of the year there. Number one, we're in a pandemic. And I'll get on a plane for work, but for not any other reason. Number two, it's cold as hell. Cold enough to freeze catfish, cranberry, and all the other lakes in that chain. Dude, if that's moderate, if what you're telling me is true, and that's a moderate winter, I'll see you in summer. And then never again. I miss the Eag. Can't wait to get back. In the meantime, the Packers have the NFC Championship game this weekend. They get Tampa Bay. On the other side, you know, we just got to wait all week. We're not going to find out probably until the last minute about Patrick Mahomes' status. And I'm sure he's doing everything he possibly can to pass through protocol. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, do it. Hey, you know what I want to do? I want to talk about our new YouTube channel briefly. We do have one. Finally. I'll have that for you when we come back. All right, phone lines are wide open. 1-800-636-8686. The Packers have their karma, the jungle karma. It never fails. It's foolproof. It's undefeated. I challenge you. I dare you to point one instance of it not working. And you just heard Billy Turner, so things are looking really good for the Pack now this weekend. Stay after it. Good to see the phone lines ringing. Get through Hawk. Get on hold. Get on the air, and we'll come right back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You're in a 5-minute break.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by. All right, so in the never-ending effort to get you as much content as possible in as many places as possible, I am very happy to announce formally the launch of the Jim Rome Show YouTube channel. That is right. We finally have ourselves a YouTube channel. Now, I know what a lot of you are thinking.
It's about time.
Hey, it is about time. I wanted to, but I just couldn't do it.
It's about time. And the truth is, it is about time. And I'm pumped to see that so many of you are writing that in the comments sections of our videos. This is something clearly that you wanted and have wanted it for quite some time. And now you've got it. And I'm proud to roll it out. Check it out. Search Jim Rome Show on YouTube. Get subscribed to the channel. Do that for me, please. Go find it on YouTube. Hammer the subscribe button. Because once you get subscribed, it means that every time we post a new vid, that new video lands on your YouTube homepage. So it'll be right there, and you can check it out, and you don't have to go looking for it. It's going to find you instead, as long as you hit subscribe. And you only have to do it once. It takes 1 second. Now, I want to be clear about this. This does not mean we're streaming the daily TV show in its entirety. That's not what this is. We do that on CBS Sports Network. We're not doing that on YouTube. What we're doing with the YouTube channel is putting up some of our best clips, long-form clips. So if you ever miss the program or parts of the program and you want to share something with a friend who didn't see it, go check out our YouTube channel. We'll probably have exactly what you're looking for. So here's where we're at in 2021 so far, and more to come. We've got the daily radio program, which is still heard on 200-plus terrestrial affiliates across the country. We have the simulcast TV show on CBS Sports Network. We've got the live stream going every day on the radio.com app. Also on my website, jimrome.com. The show is also heard on Sirius XM, channel 206, every single day. We've got the Daily Jungle podcast. We've got the weekly original content pod, the Jim Rome podcast. We've got my Twitter, my Facebook, and my Instagram feeds popping off every single day. And now we have ourselves a YouTube channel. Like I said, all part of a never-ending effort to get you as much content as possible. And nothing I just mentioned, aside from satellite radio, costs even a dime. And I'm not the one charging you for that. I don't see any of that. I'm just glad to have that opportunity. But everything else is free. Tons of content, tons of way to get it. So do me a favor, head on over to YouTube, search Jim Rome Show. Find the channel, subscribe, enjoy anything that you might have missed or you want to hear again. And we've already rolled out a number of videos and we keep adding to that. So that'd be awesome if you did that for me. I've got a link if you need even further help. There's a link that's pinned to the top of my Twitter page. There's also a link in my IG stories. So be sure to check that out. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Kansas City. Back to the phones. JJ. Good to have you, JJ. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Jimmy Jam, homie, my homie. How about those Chiefs? And, dude, I agree with you 100% about it. Coach Eric B., we love him, and we're going to miss him when he's gone, but we're going to stack championships while he's there. How nice, nice radio of Rick in Buffalo to wish Patrick Mahomes a speedy recovery. But was winter break too long? Are you going to sleep on the fact that Patrick Mahomes has a Super Bowl ring, that he's got championship game experience? Or what about the fact that he got a tank of a tight end named Travis Kelce, or the Chiefs cheetah, Tyreek Hill, or a honey badger that don't give a damn? Because what about week six? We went into your shiny, up-and-coming city, and we beat you down. We'll do it again. There'll be 16,000 fans lined up at 6 a.m. or earlier, Jim. You've seen this. To tailgate, to be ready, to be at full throat, in the cold, at Arrowhead. I see this game, Kansas City 33, B-Lo 27. How about these Chiefs? Oh, sorry, Romy. This repeating championship thing is hard, dog. Watch out, Bills. Because your ass in a war. This game's
going to
be dynamite!
JJ's dynamite! That phone call, I thought, ended 10 different times. He's probably still on the phone right now. Going, dynamite! He's right, man. They get there early.
Dynamite!
If memory serves, when I went to the AFC Championship game last year, we went in for our production meeting. I want to say that we started to drive into the stadium at 7 a.m., it was definitely before 8, and it was probably 7:30 if the meeting was at 8. There was a snake of cars all the way down that mountain. All the way down that mountain. I mean, hours. Hours prior to the game. And yes, it was a conference championship game. But hours prior, people were in line to get in to begin the tailgate. And that cold. I know I've harped on this, but it's still, to this day, it's hard for me to get my head around it. I'm walking around the stadium, trying to get in position to do my hit. And I'm walking through the tailgate, and man, nobody looks cold. None of them looked cold. Men, women, children. And you can't tell me, yeah, Rome, of course. It's the tailgate. It's the beer. The beer doesn't do that for you. Not one person looked cold. And I'm walking around trying to play it off like, man, I got this. I'm all good. I'm fine, man. Dude, I am tough. I got this when I didn't have it at all. I was freezing my ass off. And I was saying to Jason Lockin 4, I'm like, JLC, dude, why are none of them cold? Why are none of them miserable? How could they possibly be that happy? I know how much they love that team. He's like, I don't know, brother. I'm cold as hell. I'm like, right? So yes, JJ, I have seen that up close and in person, and it's an amazing thing to see. However, as good as they are, as talented as they are, as many weapons as they have, as amazing a play caller as Andy Reid is, they're not the same without Patrick Mahomes. And I don't care how loaded you are, I'd be real concerned if you don't have that guy to start. When we come back, this whole notion of cocaine hippos. What is a cocaine hippo? I may go off the board. I may get there. It's not too late for you to get through. And again, if you want to check out that YouTube channel, go ahead and do so. Just go to my Twitter feed. It's pinned to the very top. Or go to my IG stories. And it's also there, the link. Stay with it. Tuesday edition of the program. Winding into our last segment. I do have time for you to get through, though. You have your number. You want to hit me up on Twitter? Hey, as long as you go over there to check out the Instagram story with the link to the YouTube page, hit me with a follow there, too. That'd be great. I appreciate it. Jim Rome Podcast pushing out tomorrow. Green Bay Packer great Leroy Butler, also one of the 15 finalists for the Hall of Fame for the second year in a row. Leroy Butler will be joining me on the podcast. That is tomorrow afternoon. All right, so coming off the amazing NFL weekend of the divisional round playoffs, there was no way that I could get to everything I wanted to get to yesterday. That's normal. I expect that. But this is what Tuesday is for. And last I checked, today is still Tuesday. So why don't we take a tour around the internet and a blitz through some of the topics that do need to be addressed. Believe it or not, I'm going to start this hodgepodge with a safari abroad. In Colombia, to be exact, where the so-called cocaine hippos are out of control. Literally, the country is at grave risk, in grave danger. The threat that the country could be destroyed by cocaine hippos.
Cocaine.
No, I mean, this is a real thing. No, the cocaine hippos are not gacked out of their giant gourds on snow, on the Bolivian marching powder. No, the cocaine hippos are called cocaine hippos because they can be traced back to Pablo Escobar, who was once importing hippos to his personal zoo back in the early 90s. You know how people have that weird fetish about exotic animals? Tigers, lions, hippos. See, when authorities shot Pablo dead and took control of his estate, they took control of his zoo as well. Except four of the hippos escaped. And they've been knocking boots ever since. Those four hippos are now 100 hippos, and they are regarded as the largest invasive species on the planet. And frankly, with no real predators in Colombia, they stand to grow to a population of 1,500 by 2024. So you might be saying, well, what's the big deal? You know, 100 hungry hippos, 1,000 hungry hippos, 1,500 gacked out of their mind hippos. Who cares, right? Well, here's the issue. Apparently, hippos are extremely aggressive and dangerous to humans. That, and come to find out, their excrement is extremely toxic to the ecosystem. Humans, animals, plants, all included. So what you have here are a bunch of cocaine hippos who do nothing except eat, crap toxic waste, have sex, and multiply. And they all stem from a drug lord who ruined Colombia with blow and violence and now might wipe it off the planet altogether from the grave with his rogue hippos. Here's a quote that should sum up how dire this situation really is. Quote, "Nobody likes the idea of shooting a hippo, but we have to accept that no other strategy is going to work," end quote. I mean, that is an amazing statement when you consider who said it, right? That's not some nut or some kook. That's Natalie Martinez, an ecologist and an environmentalist. When environmentalists are telling you that a cocaine hippo genocide is the only way out, that a shotgun is necessary, you know it's bad. You know it's serious. Pablo Escobar, man, still wrecking Colombia from the afterlife. All right, now let me swing around here. It's a hodgepodge. Let's swing it back. Let's bring it back to the States, where Nestle has recalled 700,000 pounds of Hot Pockets. I know, Ritz, sucks for you. Why? Why, you ask? It's because they taste horrible and they cause explosive diarrhea. That's got to be the answer, right?
Diarrhea.
Why else would you recall it? I mean, that's reason enough. That's not why, though. Although that is reason enough. Turns out somebody at the factory accidentally put a bunch of glass and hard plastic into the premium pepperoni flavor of Hot Pockets.
Hot Pockets.
Right. And? And? Dude, Ritt, if you're eating a Hot Pocket, you pretty much have taken your own life into your own hands to begin with, right? The second you push start on the microwave. What, a little glass and hard plastic is going to change the taste or the damage you're doing to yourself if you're shoveling that down your pie hole? In fact, I would argue that glass and hard plastic probably tastes better and carves up your insides a lot less than a straight-up Hot Pocket on its own.
Hot Pockets!
You probably are better off eating glass. And I do love that it happened to the, quote, premium pepperoni flavor. Like, exactly what is so premium about their pepperoni? Oh, it comes with glass and hard plastic. I see. Nice. Imagine suing Hot Pockets for something you found inside the Hot Pocket. I mean, wouldn't any respectable judge laugh you out of the court and just say, order, order. Hey, yo, loser, it's a Hot Pocket. You surrendered your rights at the point of purchase. What did you think was in there? Allegedly. Staying here in the good old U.S. of A., why don't we whip around the freezer aisle? Let's stop at O'Hare Airport in Chicago. Personally, I don't mind that airport at all. It's a hub. So I've gone through Chicago numerous times. Lots of restaurants, lots of bars, lots of stores. Doesn't bother me. But apparently it bothers a lot of other people. Because it's been rated as one of the 5 worst airports in America. Maybe it's just because I fly through LAX, which is the worst airport in the history of the world. O'Hare doesn't bother me, probably because my home field is LAX. However, it has been rated as one of the 5 worst. Now, apparently one dude didn't mind it so much, because authorities arrested a guy who's been living there since October. Adita Singh was arrested this weekend. I mean, at his home, I guess. He's been there for months, taken into custody after being caught living in the airport for 3 months. And I'm not sure it's a matter of him not having any place else to go, although average rent in Chicago for a 700-square-foot apartment is $2,000 a month. Pretty expensive. This dude, however, just stayed 3 times that long in a 4.8 million-square-foot joint for free. Singh, my man, well played. According to the Chicago Tribune, he didn't want to board his flight in October because of the pandemic and fear of contracting the virus. So instead of going home, he just made O'Hare his home for 3 months. Like, you know, man, I don't feel good about this. This does not feel safe. I'm not getting on that airplane, but I'll just stay in the airport. The Tribune says that this guy found an employee's lost ID, found the badge on the ground, and used it to stay inside the airport since October. I mean, was this guy getting his mail forwarded to the airport? When he ordered DoorDash, did he have the driver meet him at security and just hand the food through the metal detector? We already know a premium pepperoni Hot Pocket would have set that thing off. You know, and frankly, what's that say about that airport? What's that say about O'Hare? You can't have a guy living in your joint for 3 months and not know it. Airports are supposed to be the most secure places on earth, not a squatter's paradise. Well, anyway, this guy gets to live rent-free in his new home, jail. I don't know. My man, I think, is actually gaming the real estate system. This guy gets to live for free. Well, I mean, we're paying his rent now, but this guy's living for free. And he's moving around, too. My man's got a 4.8 million square foot home, free. Like, what do you think of, though? When you move to a new neighborhood, what do you think of? Is that neighborhood safe? The new neighborhood's jail, so I'm not going to check that box. No, not safe. When you move to a new neighborhood, the other big question is, how are the schools? Yeah, I don't think the schools are that good in jail, except maybe Woodshop. Yeah, I don't know, dude. I understand not wanting to get on the airplane, but you got to leave the airport. Or you'll end up in your new rent-free home. Jail. Just taking a little trip around the internet on Tuesday. Let's go to the phones. We go to New York. My guy, John. What's going on, John? What's up, brother?
Hey, John. Hey, Jim. I hope everything's all right with you and the fam. I just wanted to say it's an unfortunate circumstance and situation with that female reporter. I hope that she's able to recover and move about and get on with her life after that incident. But the thing I called about really, Jim, was James Harden. I've been wanting James Harden to come to Brooklyn for a long time, along with Kevin Durant. Nets fans can finally take the bags off of their heads and look at the TV again and watch basketball. Basketball is back in New York. Unlike that dumpster fire on 33rd and 7th Avenue, the Nets and Joe Tsai, thank you, Joe Tsai, for bringing a championship-caliber team back to New York and bringing the fans back to the TV to watch again. I'll go get cheesecake for James Harden, and I'll go get burner phones for Kevin Durant during halftime of the game. Run across Flatbush Avenue Extension, Jim. This is a championship-caliber team. It was on display last night for the country. New York basketball is back, Jim. I'm not saying we're going to win a championship, but we're in the race again. Take the bags off your heads, Net fans. We're in it again. Thanks a lot, Jim, for your time.
My man, John in New York. Go ahead, Alvy. Rack him. Because I can.
Rack him!
Hey, listen, that's no guarantee. Three ball-dominant alphas. Hey, listen, three superstars can work if they mesh well, if they're willing to share the basketball, if they're willing to make sacrifices. I don't know that any of those three guys will. I mean, maybe that's not fair. Kevin Durant did go to Golden State, so he had to make a sacrifice in that regard, but he went to Golden State to win a ring, and he got rings. But if you're looking at Kyrie's got so many issues already when everything goes his way, and things are not going his way right now. Do you think that Kyrie is going to accept being option number three with the Nets when he couldn't accept being option number two behind LeBron with Cleveland? I'm skeptical. Maybe he'll surprise me. I'm not even sure that James Harden is going to be able to accept being option number two. Yeah, I know that Harden wanted to be there. Harden thought about it. Harden orchestrated that whole move to get him out of Houston. Not only to get out of Houston, but to get to Brooklyn. But he's never had to deal with something quite like this before. I'm not sure he's going to fall in line either. If they're willing to share the basketball, and here's the other big if any of them or any combination of them are willing to actually run back on defense and play defense at least half the time, yet they should be fine. In fact, there's no doubt in my mind they should come out of the East. They should be in the finals, the NBA finals. Everything being equal, if they share the ball, they accept their roles, and even part of the time they run back on defense and get their hands up. There's no reason why they shouldn't be in the NBA Finals. Dear Rome, what you call cocaine and hippos, I call Saturday night. Regards, Charlie Sheen.
Winning.
I went on the Tonight Show once in the middle of Charlie Sheen's apex. I had a great talk with him backstage. He was fun. He was cool. Cool in a really weird way, but it was fun. Romy, you rock. Tweets, dude, living in an airport. Wow. Dare to dream. Sincerely, Silk Bra. Silk Bra called yesterday to inform us that he, quote, had the 19. Romy, but that he was much better. And turned the corner. But, quote, he had the 19. And Mailman Casey tweets, not this month, boss. I'm eating the lean pockets. Signed, your best board operator, Rit.
Game on.
No, I've seen Rit hammering piles of ravioli, gigantic bags of Doritos, basically doing Rit. Hey, Rit, you know you can't outwork a bad diet. You know this, right? Whatever boot camp bullcrap you're doing at the beach is not going to undo the damage you're doing the other 23 hours out of the day. You know this, don't you?
Game on.
Even I know this. Dear Hot Pockets, he glossed me. Signed, Rit.
He glossed me.
Francis in Glendale, War Rich Flores using lava cakes as hockey pucks. Romy, eat the glass.
Shoot. The glass.
Regards, the suits at Hot Pockets. Ashley gets in under the gun. Oh, you were nervous, weren't you, Ash? You almost didn't get through today. Dear Rome, have you ever been to O'Hare? it takes 3 months to get from one end to the other. I guarantee there are at least a dozen people still wandering around trying to find their connecting flights to Tampa from Thanksgiving. That's strong. James Fisher, it's a big airport. Yes. And I've had to make the mad dash in that airport a number of times from one end to the other. I'll tell you what's a bigger airport. At least it feels like it to me. Denver. Denver is a huge airport. O'Hare is big, though. We have flown through there, and I've gone on mad sprints for connecting flights. Dear Jim, I can handle that hippo problem. You just got to lay the wood to him. Signed, Mark Grace. Ted in San Carlos, 93 Gaucho. What up, fam? That's a wrap. My thanks to Billy Turner, the Packers, Richard Pitino, head coach at Minnesota, Jordan Burroughs, a four-time world champion freestyle wrestler. I thought his takes on MMA were fascinating. My thanks to the XR4TI. My thanks to you clones for listening and participating. Once again, we do have a new YouTube channel, so check it out. It's pinned to the top of my Twitter feed. It's also on my IG story. If you want to see some videos that we've been compiling, check out that new channel. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow. We're out.